The following program is intended for mature audiences.
Gentlemen, gentlemen, let's get down to business.
Can you dig it?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Q. My name, of course, is Mark Bland. You're listening to this on WestplexNewsTalk.com as well as TheQNow.com. And if you're sitting in your car right now rolling around the St. Louis area, St. Louis, Missouri, that is, because we have a lot of national listeners, you'll listen to us on KYRO 1280 AM. My name is Mark Bland. This is The Q. And today I have a lot of things to talk about. We're going to talk about this. We're going to start this all off with this bullying situation out of San Antonio, Texas. But before we get to that, I am joined by one of my favorite people in the entire world, Matthew Krueger. What's going on, Matt?
Not too much, sir. It's a pleasure to be back on the show with you.
Well, I appreciate you coming on the show because you always tend to ground me a little bit.
I bring a different perspective.
Definitely a different perspective. But we also have another special guest in the studio with us today. One Taryn D, who has decided to join us, fan of the show. Taryn, thank you so much for coming on the show, bro.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, man, I think it's awesome that you're here, and this is your first time at a radio station, right?
That it is.
All right, well, here's what we are going to do. Let's get into this situation right now. Kindergarten teacher, okay? What we got is a kindergarten teacher in... Don't hit the microphones, Taryn. Come on now. I know it's your first time in the studio, but it's okay. You're good. You're good. All right, kindergarten teacher in trouble. Check this out. Let me tell you guys a story. I want to hear your guys' opinion on this, all right? An elementary school teacher in San Antonio, Texas, is facing criminal charges after she allegedly ordered students in her kindergarten class to strike a six-year-old boy who was accused of being a bully. According to the police report handed to the Bexar County District Attorney's Office last week, a Ricardo Salinas Elementary School teacher complained to another teacher that Aiden Neely was a bully in her classroom and she asked for advice on how to discipline him. Neely was then Neely was then reportedly brought into the kindergarten classroom of the second teacher and told to sit in a chair. Students were instructed to line up in front of Aiden and slap him in turn to teach him that bullying is bad.
The report sounds like bullying itself.
Oh my goodness! The report states that certain students hit Aiden twice as the teacher demanded they hit him harder. So they didn't hit him hard enough the first time. Got to slap him around a little bit more. You know what I'm saying? He had friends in that class, and some of his friends didn't want to hit him, but the other teacher told them to, said Aiden's mother, Amy.
Would that be considered cruel and unusual punishment?
Yeah. Potentially. Aiden never told his mom about what transpired at school at the behest of his teacher, according to Ms. Neely, and the incident was not reported until weeks after it took place. Both teachers were immediately placed on administrative leave. Ms. Neely, who insists Aiden is not a bully, says she wants charges filed against the teacher to ensure she doesn't set foot in a classroom again. I'm concerned that this teacher is going to be back in the school system and teaching other children, and she doesn't need to be around my children, she said. Steve Linscombe, a spokesperson for the Judson Independent School District, said that the teacher who allegedly arranged the bullying lesson will not be returning, but the teacher who initially complained about Aiden will be allowed back. The teacher is a relatively young teacher and just needed to be re-educated and reminded that what needs to happen in the classroom in order for it to be a safer learning environment, said Linscombe. So, basically, we have a young man down there hanging out in good old San Antonio, Texas schools. And this young man...
He's a bully.
He is probably a bully, a legitimate bully. I mean, most kids, they don't run around just going, oh, so-and-so's a bully, so-and-so. Like, my daughter, she's only 3. She thinks that anytime you say something that she doesn't like, it's a bad word. Like, it doesn't matter what it is. Like, you could tell my daughter, you could be like, no, you can't have a glass of water. Mommy, Daddy said a mean thing to me. Like that's her thing. But she's 3. She doesn't understand that. By 6, you kind of understand. And if a kid keeps walking up and punching you or hitting you or anything like that,
you kind of know the difference.
Yeah, you kind of know the difference of what's going on. And yeah, that's kind of where you're at. So I think that in this case, he probably was a bully, even though his mom is trying to claim he wasn't a bully. You see what I'm saying?
No, of course. Actually, I saw a comic the other day, and it was a comparison between, like, back in the, like, let's say, 60s compared to today. And back in the 60s, it was the parents yelling at the student, at their kid, saying, why are these grades so low? And in the modern one, it was the kid standing next to his teacher's desk smug look on his face, and the parents holding the report card yelling at the teacher, why are there bad grades?
Oh, that's very typical now.
And I think it just goes back. Well, of course, the parents don't think that their son is a bully, because nowadays everyone wants to coddle everyone. And when you get into the real world, eventually, when you get your first real job and you realize that your boss is going to bust all over you hard because apparently you're not cutting the mustard anymore.
Right, exactly. These kids nowadays, they don't understand it. Now, Taryn, who's sitting here with us, he's a recent graduate.
Yeah.
And Taryn, speak up a little bit, man. Be manly. You know, talk. Talk to the microphone, you know. Sit forward a little
don't
bit.
Don't be
talk
nervous.
Talk to that microphone. Let that microphone know that you're there.
That microphone is your friend.
That microphone is your friend.
Here.
All right, Taryn, you're a recent graduate. Now, what kind of grades did you get?
A's, B's.
Typical A's and B's. Yeah. Okay.
Good student.
Now, was that instilled in you by your parents, or was that something that you kind of took the onus on yourself that you wanted good grades?
When I was definitely younger, I mean, my parents definitely pushed it on me, you know, get better grades, you know, you want to do better on life. But I mean, as I got a little bit older, you know, I kind of decided for myself, you know, hey, this is what I want to do. I want to make sure that I do good, to make sure do better in my life. But I think it, you know, kind of goes back to my parents, you know, kind of pushing me for it. So
fair enough. Now, when I graduated from high school back in the early 90s, okay, I was one of those kids who, yeah, I came from that the original, you were talking about the two cartoons, the Vice Versus, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I came from the original, where if I got bad grades, my parents would ask me what the problem is for me. Like, what is your problem? Now, being a student or a person who recently graduated, did you see a lot of the classmates of yours? Were there a lot more classmates where their parents were yelling at the teacher?
Yeah, because I definitely hear a lot of stories about where, you know, the parents would be calling the teachers and, you know, they'd be talking. I could overhear conversations between students and teachers and them talking how their parents called up, you know, saying, talking about their bad grades and stuff. And, you know, knowing those kids, I know it's their fault. You know, I knew most of the kids in my class.
Right, those kids were just failing on their own.
Yeah, they're lazy. They're doing it themselves. And, you know, in no way is the teacher's fault, because plenty of other kids in that class are doing just fine.
Right, exactly. And that's where I think the problem with the American education system is. I think teachers should be paid better.
Agreed.
Maybe not at the highest ends of the game, but just paid better in general. But beyond that, I mean, seriously beyond that, there needs to be more onus put back on the student. Like, you're the one who's supposed to be learning. You're the one who's supposed to be becoming a smarter individual. You're the one who's going to benefit from all of this.
Yeah.
In the long run. So I just find it very interesting that, you know, that these kids take this approach nowadays.
I would really like a follow-up story. You know, a year. Let's go with a month, 6 months.
Aiden's 16 years old when he's in jail. Yeah.
And then let's see if this teacher's tactics actually worked. Is he still a bully? Maybe. Did he learn his lesson? Do you think that all might be a possibility? Do you think that while her actions might not be widely accepted, I'm going to play devil's advocate for just a second.
Okay.
I'm not saying I agree with what she did, but what if it works?
Okay, let's, I was going to save this for the second half of this first hour, but, let's roll into this thing then. Did you hear the story about the gentleman who recently posted a video to YouTube of him giving his daughter's boyfriend, who's overage, a spanking?
No, but that sounds very strange.
Well, yeah. Let me explain the story to you for what it is worth, okay? And I know
that sounds really strange.
Yeah, that sounds just
so
weird.
So, she's a minor.
All right, now I might get lost on my time here, so you just make sure you let me know when we're getting close. So, here's the deal. She's a minor, 16 years old. Maybe 17, if I remember correctly. I'm not sure. She lets her dad know that her and her boyfriend have had sexual relations. The boyfriend is 21, 22 years old. Okay. So, technically, by the laws, statutory rape.
Mm-hmm.
So the dad, with a video camera and his buddy, go to the kid's house, the guy's house, 21-year-old's house.
So they videotape themselves assaulting him.
They asked him. Well, no. Let's before we go down that road, because technically, yes, you're right. But let's go down this road first. He gives the guy an option. Legitimately gives him an option. Yeah. He says, "I can either pummel you, give you a, we can get a fist fight. I'm gonna beat your butt.
Okay? Let's bring this to fisty cuffs, good sir.
Yes, I'm gonna beat you up, and then I'm gonna call the police, and we're gonna file charges for statutory rape.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna pummel you and do this, or you can pull your pants down right now, bend over, and I will give you a severe spanking with no repercussions when I'm done. I won't call the police. There won't be nothing to say. Immediately, right now, you pull your pants down, I'll take care of this. Give you a spanking live on video." And the kid chose, after a few seconds, to take the severe spanking, and he gave him a severe, blood-curdling, like, you know how we like pro wrestling? You know how, like, sometimes a chest chop, you see the handprint?
Uh-huh.
This kid started scooting on the ground like a dog when it's rubbing its butt on the ground. Like, started scooting like that, talking about how he's not going to be able to sit for a week, and you could see the blood boils start to boil up. Like, it was a painful butt spanking. But now, once the guy broke away from him and stopped, the guy stopped spanking him. He didn't, like, continue to chase him down and hit him or anything like that. He stops, and the guy's like, "I'm not going to be able to sit for a week." And he goes, "Well, that's what you get. You made the choice."
Mm-hmm.
And the repercussion was, "I'll give you the severe spanking, and we won't call the police. We won't involve them at all, and I'll go on with my life." And it's the exact same spanking my daughter just got for doing it too. Technically, yes, you were right earlier. We have an assault by an adult on another adult.
That's two adults. One, laying his hands on another person.
Yet, there is a caveat to the situation.
He was given a choice,
and by this guy's own admission and choice, he allows him to do that. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
So I don't know where that line is. You know what I'm saying? And now that the video's on YouTube and it's starting to get, like, viral, I don't know where that goes because, you know, some of these towns, man, they got, like, there's going to be that lady. She's 50 years old. Her name is Dottie. You know, and Dottie works at the library, but she's Dottie from Springfield, and she is a very big supporter of the local government in whatever town that is. And she sees the video, and she gets into the ear of the prosecutor for the town. And then the prosecutor doesn't need them to come forward or anything like that. They do their own special investigation, and they'll bring up charges on him for assaulting another adult. They'll bring up charges on the guy for statutory rape. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. All because this video gets out and they think it's making everyone look bad. No, I love the idea. Here's my thing. I love the idea that this guy gave that kid a choice.
Yeah.
I think that's great. Like okay.
Like he just walked in there and
you messed up, right? You messed up, and I'm giving you a choice. You can either take the severe butt whipping, or I'm going to get into a fist fight. Like, I'm going to beat you up, and then I'm going to call the police and make your life twice as bad. You're going to get arrested for being beat up. And I might get arrested, too, for assaulting you.
You're a sex offender.
But you're going to be on a sex offender list and all that. I think the kid made a much smarter decision, honestly. And I think that the adult, by giving him that option, didn't take it overboard. It wasn't one of those, like, shoot first, ask question later kind of situations.
Right.
He came in with a legitimate plan, and a plan where the other person has a choice. I don't knock that.
Okay, so then where's the line on the severity of the punishment versus the crime? So let's just say he legitimately, not just statutory rape, but actually raped his daughter. And he went to this guy and was like, "Okay, we got two choices. I'm going to beat you up. We're going to call the cops. You're going to be bloody, broken, in prison, and you're going to have all the joys that come with prison. Or you can take this gun and you can put one in between your head." You know, it's like, is the line, you know, life or death? Is it, you know, like third degree burns, second degree burns, you know, as far as a punishment of, you know, self-infliction?
I don't think that there's a question, you know, of the line at that point.
Is it a beating up until the point of open wounds? You know, it's like, where's the line? How do you...
That's a hard way to tell.
I don't think that there is a line.
How would you judge what is okay?
I don't think
that's why we allow. Well, that's why we have the law. That's why we have law enforcement.
Oh, of course.
And a jury and a judge and, you know, all of these executive things in place so that we don't make those decisions.
Maybe when it comes to something to the extremity of what you're talking about. like somebody murders someone else.
We don't take the law into our own hands.
My point is maybe if it comes down to
no matter how much we want to.
A murder. Okay? Someone murders someone else. So you go over to their house and you explain to them.
Eye for an eye, man.
Eye for an eye, and we'll call it even right here. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever, okay? I get the point. Maybe this is the kind of way we should handle gray area situations. Because gray area situations are those situations like...
You knocked over my bird bath. I'm well, kicking your door.
Okay, gray area situations are kind of like this.
But put a dent in your car.
But here's my point. Gray area situations are kind of like this. She's 17. By state law, she's statutory rape.
Uh-huh.
But he's only 19. So by state, but they're only 2 years technically apart. When he's 21, she'll be 19. When he's 22, you know, it's one of those situations. So it's kind of crazy. I don't know, man. Like you asked a really great question. You asked a really, really great question, Matt.
I sometimes ask questions that there really isn't an answer to.
Well, here's what we're gonna do. We're getting ready to go to break right now. Why don't you guys, if you get a chance, well, maybe we're not going to go to break quite yet. I mean, come on now. Do we need to go to break this early? Do we need to really seriously go to break this early?
No,
Matt,
we...
all right, I'm going to hit you with one.
All right.
All right, Matt, here's the situation. Your parents went away on a week's vacation. They left the keys to the brand new Porsche. Would you mind? Well, of course not.
Is this Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Okay, all right.
Save Ferris, man.
Okay, fair enough. Let's use the Ferris Bueller. Let's go down that road for a minute, okay?
Okay.
We're gonna go down the Ferris Bueller road before we take the break, all right? You're Cameron.
All right.
You kick the car. It flies out the window, down the embankment, high-end Porsche, irreplaceable. Dad comes home. It's a gray area situation. You're my son. But you're severely messed up in this situation. I'm going to give you two options, okay? Either I beat you severely with a cane. Like just
Singapore cane?
Like a Singapore, Singapore
or like
cane.
A walking stick cane.
Like a walking stick or a Singapore cane. I beat That's you. Painful. I'll hit you 25 times, or I hit you 20 times. Let's not go overboard. I'll hit you 15 because of cane. I mean, that can be very painful. I'll hit you 15 times with this cane, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And not make you pay for this car. Or I will make you pay every single dime after I slap the crap out of you. Like, I'm going to beat you about the head with my hand, just slapping you. But then I'm going to make you pay every single dime of this car back to me, no matter how long it takes. So if you start a .com and it becomes really famous, you're done. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're in.
That could be the great motivator.
That's the great, like, you got the .com and boom, you're done. You're like, you go daddy and you win. Facebook, you win. You know what I'm saying? Or we don't know if that's necessarily going to happen. So the question is, do you take the cane beating or do you take the slaps to the head and the face and then having to pay the car back?
Well, I tend to be a glutton for punishment, so I'd probably take the cane.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd probably take the cane.
You really take the cane.
That's an expensive car.
Yeah, I know it's an expensive car, but that cane could end up breaking some bones and potentially doing some serious permanent damage.
I've been beaten and broken before. It's not anything I'm really all that afraid of.
Your body can heal.
Okay.
Some people.
You may take 20, 30 years to pay off that car.
That's a good point.
That's not hanging over your head for 20 or 30 years.
I don't even know what the value of that car would have honestly been. But I think that would have been very interesting to...
If it was a 9/11, when did that movie come out? 86? So let's just say it's in the 85 Porsche 911.
Okay.
It's probably in the 80s.
Well, no, that was a 60s Porsche.
Was it?
Yeah, remember it was...
Be a little bit more, but either way.
So, yeah, that's kind of crazy. You know what I'm saying? I mean...
Well, because at that age, you're not going to be making that much money, so it's going to take you a while. So,
but either way, what you have to think about in that instance is that it's a father son and not a father girlfriend's boyfriend thing. Because when your father son or, you know, your a maternal, you know, partner, then you have corporal punishment that you can, depending on the laws of the state, you can inflict corporal punishment, you know, because some states allow you to hit your kids, smack the butt. Hit him in the face.
Do you remember that when we were growing up?
Beat your kids.
Do you remember when we were growing up? Okay, when Taryn was growing up, because he's younger than us, Taryn didn't have this. Remember, our principals had paddles.
Yeah, my principal hit me with a paddle once.
Yeah, we had paddles.
In third grade.
Yeah.
Really? I deserved it, though.
But that's my point. That's my point. The principals have paddles. Back when we were growing up. And you were fearful. Like, you didn't want to mess up at school, or the principal was going to spank you with the wooden paddle in his office, over his desk or whatever.
And see,
and then you were done.
There's two mentalities you can take. You can take my mentality, which is, I deserved it, I did something wrong, and I got what was coming to me. I'm going to move on. I lost. I was defeated. I was in the wrong. Or you can get angry about it, you can get resentful about it, you can hate it, and you can seek revenge, and you're probably going to end up getting yourself in more trouble. You're going to be filled with negativity. You're going to hate your life. You're going to hate the principal. Which one sounds better? Moving on.
Moving on.
Got it.
Moving
just on. Letting it go. Just.
Yeah. I think that Taryn,
that's what
was,
bugs me about Joffrey in the Game of Thrones.
We'll talk about Game
he
of Thrones.
He doesn't let it go.
Okay, here's the funny thing. With Taryn's age group, though, since he's younger than us, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Maybe the fact that if they were threatened like that by the school principal, like they were held accountable by their parents for
but
their grades.
And that brings it all back. It's like from the teacher hitting the kid and allowing the students to hit the kid, the teacher may have authority in the classroom, but she's not the executive, enforcer of the rules and regulations of the school. That, I think, should be relegated definitively to just the principal. If the principal deems it necessary, that says, hey, there, little Johnny, you're a bully, and we've had all these kids complain, we're going to have to do something. Why don't you come into my office, and I'm going to give you two choices. You can either take my paddle 5 times, or I'm going to let every student in that classroom come in and slap you.
Hmm. Matt, you make, once again, a great, great point. I don't even know why I'm even doing the show today. I could have just had you call in and not said a single word, and Matt would just take this and run with it. So,
Well, Mark, we got about a minute left.
So, here's the quick question for you guys. Let's finish this off before we go to break. A little round table real quick. Teacher allows the kids to line up.
Uh-huh.
I'll walk up on the kid who probably was a bully, honestly. Now, yes, the friends of the kids are not going to hit him, but all the kids got a smacking on him. Now, do you think that makes the kid who was the bully more angry? Or do you think that makes the bully as a deterrent? Which goes back to your original question.
Yeah, that would be, which mentality do you take? Do you move on? If he's truly a bully, he's probably going to hold on to that, and he's going to build a resentment. And
is he going
to
be Steve Buscemi and Happy Gilmore or whatever it is? Or Billy Madison where he's got the lipstick?
He's probably going to make it worse. He's going to take his anger out on somebody else, which is why violence only works occasionally. Violence is never really the good go-to answer. Empathy. Having somebody realize how you're feeling and feel exactly what you're feeling, I think, is a better way to go.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break here on the show. If you get a chance, go check out theqnow.com during the break. It's time for CBS News. We'll be back right after this. Oh, 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 oh. You know what I'm talking about? Rock. Right now, if you're in the club, Supreme Team. We're going to go ham. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Q. Of course, Mark Bland joined today by my friend Matt Krueger and Taryn. Taryn D, what's going on, guys? Are we doing good? Taryn, you hanging in there, bud?
Yeah, doing pretty good.
All right, well, here's the situation. During the break, we were kind of talking, and, obviously because the Q tends to be a little political at times, we were asking our friend Taryn, being a young man. Now, Taryn, you're 18 years old.
That is correct.
And don't be afraid to speak up into that mic, baby. I'm telling you, that mic is not going to hurt you. All right, here's the deal.
It might bite me.
Okay, here's the situation.
being 18 years old, this is your first time to be able to vote.
That is correct.
And it happens to be a big year for voting because
what
it is
an election to be a part of.
Yes.
Yeah, I know, right?
I mean, well, you know, if you were part of the 2008 and it was your first, that was a huge one, too. I mean, that was a big deal.
Yeah, it
but
was.
You are now dealing with a very similar situation. We've now had 4 years of Barack Obama. And Barack Obama is fighting for his life against the new candidate to take him out in the presidency, potentially, in Mitt Romney. Now, being 18 years old, this is your first time around. And you said that, explain to us, like off the air, you basically said that you don't necessarily have a point of view quite yet formulated for this November election.
That is quite correct.
Okay, so what we wanted to do was not to push you or pull you one way or the other. One of the things you did say off the air was that currently you don't feel that you are going to be voting for Barack Obama. But then again, you didn't really have a grounded base for your decision. Mm-hmm. You were just more or less basing it off of the fact that you just don't feel like you want Barack Obama. And I think, and I really think
that... And he also clarified saying... I don't really have much of an opinion right now of Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
True, true. Correct. And I think that that's where the problem comes in, is that with that situation, I think there's a lot of people who are young like yourself. They don't pay attention to politics a lot. And they do come in with this right off the bat, their first time voting around, and they don't have a basis for their decision. So it's, I just don't want this person there.
Yeah.
Not necessarily that the other person's better. They just don't want that person there. And I don't think that that's a good way to go about voting. That's just my personal opinion.
More about like, popularity contest.
As time came around, if it comes time for voting and, you know, I feel like I still don't have a full-on grasp, then I probably wouldn't vote because I don't want to vote, you know, and just have it based off of social opinions and things like that. I want to have it actually based off of what, you know, my feelings are towards their policies.
All right, so let's break this down. We have 12 different issues that we have the different sides of both of these candidates, Romney as well as Obama, okay? And we're going to start off with the first issue is debt. The debt. Now, just so everybody out there knows, Mark's a moderate liberal. That's me. And Matt, of course, you tend to be what?
Right-wing conservative.
There you go. And, of course, our friend Taryn here, before we start, is undecided primarily at this point.
Yes.
Not completely undecided, but undecided.
So we have a good breadth of opinions.
Right. And
viewpoints and different stances.
And for everybody out there listening, we are not trying to goad Taryn one way or the other into these issues. We are just going to label the issues, give both points of view for both candidates, and, you know, we'll make our decisions based off of that solely, okay? So we're going to start off with debt. Fourth straight year, we're going to talk about Obama's stance right now. The fourth straight year of a $1 trillion deficit is projected. One approval to raise debt limit to avoid the default, which was when they raised it quite a few months ago.
Uh-huh.
Calls for tackling the debt with a mix of spending cuts and revenue increases. Central to Obama's plan is to let Bush-era tax cuts expire for couples making more than $250,000. Romney, on the other hand, he says, defended the 2008 bailout of financial institutions as a necessary step to avoid the system's collapse, which is something that Barack was the leader of, of sending those bailouts, opposed the auto bailouts, would cap federal spending at 20% of gross domestic product by the end of the first term, down from 23.5% now, with largely unspecified spending cuts, very typical of conservatives, favors constitutional balanced budget amendment, which... That's kind of one of those things that's across the board on both sides. Everybody kind of agrees to that. There's little details within that, but they all kind of want a balanced budget amendment on both sides of the aisle. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, let's talk about this for a minute. Obama's thing is nailing people who are couples that make over $250,000 a year.
Now, is that couples who
combined.
Each? Oh, okay, so combined.
Well, if they each made $250,000, that's $500,000 combined.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Okay.
So a combined $250,000 a year. Now, let's be really honest. Now, Taryn, we don't have to get into your parents or your upbringing or social status, but would you say that you fall above $250,000 a year that your family makes or under that primarily?
Under that.
Okay, and I would say that my family that I grew up in, as well as my current family, under that.
I am definitely under that.
Okay, so all of us would not necessarily be affected by any of these tax cuts at all. Now, supposing Matt becomes famous for being a Les Stroud impersonator, which is potential at any given time, he might make enough money to be over that $250,000 bracket.
One okay? can only hope.
Okay. Now, when it comes to finances, I tend to lean a little more from my moderate conservative side because, mm-hmm. they're, you know, the moderate means I take a mix of both. Right. So I tend to lean a little bit more conservative. But at the same point, our friend Romney, he was all about those bailouts. He said that they were good and they needed to happen so that our country didn't fall and collapse, which it didn't because of those. The auto bailouts.
But would it have?
Would it have? We don't know.
Exactly.
We don't know. We just don't know. But what we do know is that it didn't.
Yeah.
And the bailouts did happen. So we can assume that because of the bailouts, that helped.
Now, at the time when the bailouts were happening, I was against the bailouts.
Right.
I thought that they were a bad idea. And if you're a bad businessman, your business should fail. And you start over. You work from the ground back up, building up your income again.
Fair enough. And so I think that I don't know. I know that the general feel for Obama, in my opinion, from what I've gathered off my research, is that a lot of people have not been happy with the economy in general. Doesn't matter necessarily.
Everyone's been going through some pretty hard times.
Right. Yeah. And so it doesn't really matter what the ideas behind the economy really are of how to fix it or how it might fail or this, that, or the other. Everyone deals with their day-to-day pocketbook for what it's worth.
Right.
You know, and so I don't know if this is going to be a hitch for most people, but I don't think it's going to be as detailed and in-depth as this is. I don't think that $250,000 tax bracket is going to make or break Barack Obama. I think people are just going to look at their bank account statements.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're not going to judge off of anything other than how well they're doing physically. Now, let's be honest with all of ourselves. We live in a country that is just the fact that where we're recording, you know, in this radio station, or, you know, the things that we do on a day-to-day, the houses that we live in are so much more immaculate compared to almost 60% of the rest of the world.
Yeah, I'm not living in a shanty right now.
None of us are living like we're in West Ethiopia. Like, it's not happening.
Yeah, but there's a lot of things that, you know, it's like false prosperity. There's a lot of that going around.
I think that this comes down to our contentness with our socioeconomic level for what we have. We understand that you can live in this kind of a house that's only worth $70,000.
Uh-huh.
But just the fact that you have a $70,000 house puts you above, like, so many other people in the world.
75%.
Just in general, the world. And so, but if you're living in a $70,000 house and your mom and dad live in a...
You have air conditioning in your house. You're above most people.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we take it for granted. In general, we take a lot of this for granted, and so that's why we have this viewpoint that is kind of juxtaposed anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Where would you say on that one? Because, Taryn, you're the main guy here. Obviously, I'm going to agree with probably Mitt Romney on this case. That's kind of where I fall on this situation. Matt, where would you fall?
Well, you said Barack Obama wants to curb government spending.
He does, but he wants to let the Bush, he wants to, a mix of spending cuts with revenue increases for other things.
Okay.
Could be taxes on cigarettes.
So he wants
like
to
that.
Cut money here and make more money on other things.
Right.
Okay. I would probably, okay, understanding it that way, I'd probably go with Romney. And I have my own opinions on where I think, on how, now I'm not a professional at all.
Of course.
I talk. That's my job. I talk.
Right.
But if it was me, I'd say we curb government spending. We pull that back. Most things, lower some taxes to the everyday man so that they have a couple more dollars to put into the economy in other places. But you know, like I said, that's just my unprofessional opinion. I think the government spends too much money. As far as I know, between, let's say, liberals and conservatives, liberals would like a larger government, more government-sanctioned, projects.
No.
And they need money to fund that. And so where does money for that come from? It comes from, everyday Americans, civilians.
Now, let me add this on there, because the number two on this list is the economy in general. okay?
Okay.
So before you make your decision here, Taryn, we're going to talk. We did the debt. Now we're going to talk a little bit about the economy, and then I want you to make your decision, okay? Right. Obama termed a term marked by high unemployment, a deep recession that began in previous administration, and gradual recovery, responded to recession with a roughly $800 billion stimulus plan, continued implementation of Wall Street and auto industry bailouts begun under George Bush, because a lot of people forget to realize that the original bailout that was passed before Barack Obama took office was by George W. Bush himself. Uh-huh. Proposed tax breaks for U.S. manufacturers producing domestically or repatriating jobs from abroad, and tax penalties for U.S. companies outsourcing jobs. So basically, if you are willing to bring your company and keep it in the United States and employ United States workers, he's going to give you some tax breaks. Mm-hmm. He's going to make it worth your time to be here in the United States to build those automobiles or farm that stuff here in the United States or create those shoes. Whatever it is, he's going to help you out. But if you're going to be one of those companies that's just going to bail on the United States because you're kind of sick of the pricing or the taxing or whatever, he's going to hit you with that. He's going to be like, okay, so you want to import, basically you're exporting your production, but you want to import the product back into the United States. We're going to tax you on that.
Right.
You know, you could have kept it here. You're choosing not to keep it here.
There should be, I believe, an import-export trade tax.
Right. And I like the idea that he's wanting to keep those people's jobs here. Like, he wants to make sure that we are strong on our own workforce, period.
Okay. But, and whose opinion is this?
This is Obama's.
Okay.
Now, let me tell you Romney's. Okay. Romney's is lower taxes, less regulation, balance the budget, more trade deals to spur growth, replace jobless benefits with unemployment savings accounts, proposed repeal of the law toughening financial industry regulations, basically what Barack, the repatriating and all that, after meltdown in that sector, and the law tightening account regulations in response to corporate scandals.
Okay.
So a bunch of stuff that technically can be very useful. But it doesn't pop up all the time. Corporate scandals don't pop up all the time.
No. But when they do, they're generally billions.
Yeah, they're billions. Yeah, they're huge.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, they're generally huge. Good call. So, now, with that being stated, Taryn, where do you feel that you would stand between these two individuals?
I think I'm more leaning towards Romney.
Okay, fair enough. So, we're moving on to the next issue, and that is going to be education. Education.
Something I just got out of.
Obama has approved.
But there's also college.
There okay, is. hold on now. Obama has approved waivers freeing states from the most onerous requirements of the Bush era No Child Left Behind law. Race to the Top competition has rewarded winning states with billions of dollars for pursuing educational policies that Obama supports. Romney, on the other hand, supported the federal accountability standards of No Child Left Behind, has said that the student testing, charter school incentives, and teacher evaluation standards of Obama's Race to the Top competition make sense, although the federal government should have less control of education in general. So basically, he agrees with the ideas that Obama's throwing out there, but he doesn't want it to... He doesn't want the government in general to have as much of a stronghold on the educational system. Now, in the state of Missouri, most educational systems are run by the states themselves.
Right.
Yeah. Department of Education in whatever state. There are some general things over the top. Now, the No Child Left Behind is kind of one of the big problems that...
I don't completely agree with
I don't agree with No Child Left Behind either. And I'm going to quote Cat Williams on this. Somebody's got to cook the hamburgers.
That's true.
Okay.
And I'd like to bring up a point on the No Child Left Behind. I actually had a friend that failed almost every single class in high school, and he's a very political person. He's a very wise person,
right?
But
just a little lazy.
He's little would be pretty strong, or not strong enough, rather. And he failed almost every class in high school, and he still passed.
And it makes you feel bad when you're the person who works hard.
I work
whatever
my butt
happened
off.
To the did you guys have map testing?
Of course.
Yeah, and
okay. But that was near the end of my
which leads schools to be accredited schools or not. And if you graduate from an accredited high school, it's, you know, more generally accepted than if you were to graduate from an unaccredited school. And so that is kind of an incentive there to work hard, study, get good grades, go to the right school. I don't know. I don't think that we should be offering incentive to kids who are lazy, not studying, not doing the homework, not reading the books, just flying by the seat of their pants, doing whatever they want.
That's exactly what he did.
And too, still being able to graduate.
Yeah, and, you know, I can't say too many things bad about him, because he is one of my best friends. But it does make me kind of angry inside that, you know, I worked my butt off all the way through school to make at least decent grades, you know, graduate well.
Right, and both generally had the same end result.
Yeah, and he graduated, I think it was like a 2.5 GPA. Within his senior year, he accumulated, I think, almost 13 credits.
And he didn't deserve them.
Yeah, well...
Technically, he didn't deserve them.
He did a program called PATH, which they gave him a packet. They said, do this. He can go home, he can do it. He fills it out, and literally, and he even told me, it's copying from a book. He turns it in, and he gets half a credit.
Very, very, very eye-opening thing that you just said there, Taryn. A lot of people probably don't realize that these little programs happen because, you know, when it comes to a student who doesn't necessarily have great grades and there's a family that is not really behind them forcing the accountability on the student.
Oh yeah.
There is these little tips and techniques that you just brought up that the school will use to help the situation. Whereas Barack Obama, he wants the race to the top. The idea of you teach our kids better, they do better, therefore you will be rewarded for that.
And
if you fail, you fail.
And with that, I do agree with Obama on that. But, okay. The kid...
I'll side with him on that, yeah.
The child should be held accountable for his own actions. And, you know, he shouldn't be able to be shoved along at the very end and still be able to, you know...
You reap what you sow, man.
Exactly. That is a perfect statement for that. And, you know, I may have graduated with A+, which I get, you know, 2 free years of community college. That's awesome.
And you worked hard for that.
I worked my butt off.
Now, what if this guy... did basically nothing, and got the exact same thing that you did.
Oh, you would see me raging.
Now, and this is where the kicker comes, guys, because we're talking about the educational aspect of getting up to and graduating high school.
Yeah,
talking about college.
Let's talk about what happens after high school. You got the kid; he didn't put in the time. We're not going to knock him. We're not going to say his name because that's not fair to him. Yeah. So nobody knows.
He's not here to defend himself.
But now the kid decides, okay, I got through school 2.5. I'm moving on with my life. He gets on with a union. Now, here's a union where he isn't really that educated. Maybe he's a laborer. We're not going to knock laborers because they're good people. There are people that are in unions that are good people. But my point is he's in the union. His job as a laborer is to pick up boards and wood and stuff at job sites and throw it away. That's what most laborers do. They clean up job sites, okay? Mm-hmm. To the tune of almost $20 to $25 an hour. Now, you might start off at 14, but eventually, over a 2 to 3 year period, you'll get up to about $20, $25 an hour.
You're not going to make that at Home Depot.
And the same kid who worked his butt off, like you said, Taryn,
yeah,
to get good grades and all that, he might not get a job where somebody else will protect him to the tune of $20 to $25 an hour.
Yeah.
And he ends up struggling twice as hard. But knowing that kid who did do good in school, who did work hard to do good grades, I think he could pick up a piece of wood and throw it away too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that he would have the ability to do this. I think that it's unfair. I think that there should, you know, this is going to be a little controversial sounding from my point of view, but I think that there should be a levels. And if you attain certain levels, you're allowed first shot at jobs. And if you deplete the resource or the opportunities for those jobs with this level of people, then you can drop down to the next level and start working with those people and giving them opportunities at those same jobs. But I think these people, regardless of what the job is, as long as the pay raise high, they should be able to have the first shot.
Well, here's another thing, too. You know, that other person may be making a little bit less, starting off especially, you know, right out of college, you know. I'm going to be going to community college for 2 years and then hopefully going to a 4-year
university, right?
University, yeah. Stuff.
And, you know, I'll be going for hopefully a engineering degree and computer engineering. You know, I may have a comfy job, and right off the bat, I may not make a whole lot. You know, I may have to work my way up, which I'm...
Of course, you're willing to
pay your dues, but yeah, eventually a job like that with enough hard work will pay off.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
You can support a family with that.
Yeah, but, you know, exactly. You know, for that first little bit, he may be making more, but in the long run, you know, I'm going to have a lot better life, you know.
Potentially.
And not to mention, you know, like you said, using the example of that construction worker.
Right.
You know, you're going to have a lot more health problems. You're going to have a lot more stress in your body. You're not going to be, you know, living. You're not going to have that great of a time at your job.
I know a lot of union guys. I mean, hell,
my grandpa was
a union. We live here in Missouri. Missouri has a huge union. Yeah. Houses.
And there's not, we're not knocking unions at all.
No, I'm just saying. And I know a lot of them. I have a few in my family. Their bodies get broken down because they work super, super hard.
I had a friend
for everything that they have.
I just had a conversation, not more than within the last 24 hours, with a friend of mine who lives by me, who's a union construction worker. Mm-hmm. And his exact statement was, "I'm beat. I'm tired." Yeah. Like, it's been really rough this week because of the heat and this, that, and the other. And it's been rough on him. You know what I'm saying? To the point where he's working, you know,
they sacrifice themselves to feed their families. They work really hard.
The word sacrifice is exactly what exemplifies what they do. Because my grandpa was a union carpenter for I don't know how many years.
Yeah.
Now, I will say this about some unions. More. Some unions have really, really good health care.
Of course.
Other unions have not so good health care. And I've heard of, you know, skilled workers that are members of these unions will put off a lot of their medical treatments or help so that they can continue to work because their copay might be really high and they're going to be missing out on a lot of work. And so they continue to work, you know, strained and hurt and injured.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's just going to hurt you in the long run.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think, okay, so let's break it down. When it comes down to education, where do we stand? I would say that I stand primarily with Barack Obama on this one.
I agree.
I think I'm
race to the top, I like that. Yeah. I like the fact that he's going to put the onus on
the
students.
I'll give Barack Obama this one.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Oh, well, thank you so much, Mr. Conservative, for being
I think I'm going to have to stand with Obama on that one.
So happy to give our friend Barack Obama the go-ahead on that.
I'll throw him one.
All right, so ladies and gentlemen, here's what we're going to do. It's about time for us to take a break here on the show. We're going to take a quick break. I want you guys to go to check out theqnow.com, find out old episodes, new episodes. If you want to contact us directly, there's a contact link. Plus the Breaking Point blog, very, very awesome. And don't forget to check out the other great shows on westplexnewstalk.com and 1280 KYRO, the great station that we are on that showcases us every single week. Matt, what's going on with Savage Vibrations? Is there a new episode of Savage?
Savage Vibrations comes out once a week. Brand new shows. You can check them out at awr.podomatic.com. You can always find us on Facebook/Savage Vibrations.
Oh, and also don't forget, we have Stitcher. Stitcher now for the queue. Again, we're back on Stitcher. And
Savage Vibrations also on Stitcher.
Savage Vibrations on Stitcher. And that you can download that for your iPhone, your Android app. Have it in your pocket at all times. Listen to the new episodes. We're going to take a quick break here on the queue at the top of the hour. We'll be back after the news break.
Let's get it on. Yeah, y'all can come along. Everybody drinks on me, bought out the bar just to feel like I'm a star. Now I'm thanking the Academy. Missed my ride home, lost my iPhone. I wouldn't have it any other way. If you're with me, let me hear you say, I like it like that. Hey, windows down, chilling with the radio on. I like it like that. Damn, sun's so hot, make the girls take it all off. I like it like that. Yeah.
Welcome back to the queue, ladies and gentlemen. It is a beautiful day outside, and we are joined today by Matt Krueger of Savage Vibrations. And Taryn D.
Savage Vibrations.
Taryn D., what's going on, bud?
Not a whole lot.
Speak up. Get to the... Man, this whole show is going to be nothing but...
I'm relaxed in the chair.
Yeah,
I'm relaxing.
This microphone, we got to keep him on.
Would you say that you're chilling out, Max, and relaxing all cool?
I am.
All right, here we go, guys. We are we were talking at the end of the last hour about Mitt Romney's political issues versus Barack Obama's political issues and breaking down their viewpoints on a bunch of different things for you. So if you really don't know what's going on with the election for 2012 as of right now, maybe this will give you a little heads up as we discuss these and break them down for our friend Taryn, who is turning 18. If you're just joining us, he's turning 18.
Turned 18.
And this is he's going to be voting for the first time.
This is his first electoral season.
But he doesn't have a really good grasp of who he's interested in. At this point, currently, he just doesn't want Barack Obama, but he doesn't have no basis for that. He just doesn't like the way things
are. So we're fleshing it out.
Find out if he really is just that way or if it's there's something else. And so you can learn a little bit too. So let's move on with this list. Energy and environment. That's where we're at. Obama ordered temporary moratoriums on deep water drilling after the massive BP oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico, but has pushed for more oil and gas drilling overall. Achieved historic increases in fuel economy standards that will save money at the pump while raising the cost of new vehicles. Achieved first ever regulations on heat trapping gases blamed for global warming and on toxic mercury pollution from power plants. Spent heavily on green energies and has embraced nuclear power as a clean source. Failed to persuade a Democratic Congress to pass limits he promised on carbon emissions. Mitt Romney, on the other hand, basically supports opening the Atlantic and Pacific outer continental shelves to drilling, as well as Western Lands, the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, and offshore Alaska, wants to reduce obstacles to coal, natural gas, and nuclear energy development, and accelerate drilling permits in areas where exploration has already been approved for developers with good, clean safety records. Says the green power is yet to become viable, and the causes of climate change are unknown. So this has always been the famous contentious point of the Al Gore lovers versus the Al Gore haters. And whether we are, yes.
I like Al Gore. I think he's doing a great thing, but I'm with Romney on here.
Okay, so let me break this down.
I'm definitely with Romney here.
Well, let's break this down, because I'm not necessarily with Romney on this one, because Romney's doing the same thing that Obama said. You know, he ordered a temporary moratorium. So basically, Obama, after the BP oil spill a few years ago that was down in the Gulf, he said, listen, all you guys that are drilling for oil down in the Gulf and stuff like that, stop. We need to stop. We need to clean
Hold up for a second. Let's come together.
Let's clean this problem up, and then we'll get back to doing what you guys are supposed to be doing. And we understand we're not taking it away from you. We just need a hold up. We need a timeout. Okay? Then he says that he has increased the overall fuel economy standards, which is good. He has pushed for more oil and gas drilling. So he is looking for that. What this breaks down to is Obama is looking at all the options. Gas, natural gases, coals, as well as green energies and technology.
But Romney's more sticking towards, you know.
Yes, Romney is definitely sticking more towards just the gases and the natural resources.
More drilling, more coal, more natural gas. Opening up the pipelines up in Alaska and up, you know, in the north. And I'm all for that. Green energy is cool. I'm all right with it. It's sustainable to a point. And I think that we need to invest more time and money and technology into it. But I really don't think that it's going to be a viable option within the next 4 years.
True. But here's the kicker. The kicker to me, and this is, I'm not arguing you down. I'm just saying the kicker to me on this is what you get with Romney is half of what you get with Obama. Like, you get all of Romney's stuff. Also, you get the natural resources of solar, wind, and all that, the green stuff. You get literally everything. You get this package and that package. You get the bonus pack. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You get the extra features on the DVD. So, and now is the time to start doing that, even though it might not actually come to fruition within the next 4 years, per se. Starting now gets us 4 years closer.
Right. It doesn't sound like he's opposed to it. It just sounds like he doesn't think that it's viable right now.
Now, where I do have the big issue with
it's not like if he gets elected, all of that green energy is just going to go by the wayside.
Right, of course not. But it doesn't mean that he's trying to shut down oil either. He's not.
No.
He's opening up drillings and all that. That's what he's doing.
And that's going to save us money at the pump, too. And if we become more self-sufficient with our own oil instead of buying it from foreign soil, it will lower the money, the cost.
My problem with Obama on this one, and I'm totally with Obama on this one, but my only problem with Obama on this one is the raising the cost of new vehicles. Yeah. I'm not a big fan of that because the economy is already...
No, you pay for the production cost and the cost of the wage and a little on top so that the guys can make a small profit.
Right.
And that's it.
We shouldn't
That sounds like a tax to me.
Right. Well, it's not a tax. He's just raising the physical cost of new vehicles or asking people. He's not forcing people to raise the cost, but he's asking them to. And my problem
But
my problem is that's more of an economy issue for me.
Yeah.
That's not so much an energy and an environment issue. That's literally, we are not at the point where we can just start raising the prices because people ain't making that much money as it is.
We're not
Keep
exactly
them low
in that
so people can afford to buy the cars while still doing this over here. So I'm going to go with
Maybe
Obama
he's hoping
on this.
People are going to hold on to their older vehicles for a little bit longer.
Very possible, but those older vehicles are the ones that are less emission based, less this,
I don't,
less
man,
that.
I don't care. I have a vehicle, one of them. It's an 89. It gets 25 miles to the gallon as an 89. There's a lot of, it's a truck. And there's a lot of SUVs that were put into production this year and last year that get 25 miles a gallon.
Right.
I don't see the difference. Mine is 20 plus years old.
All right.
So that whole argument of the older ones don't get as good a gas mileage, debunked.
All right, so here's my question. Where do you stand on this one? Obama or Romney?
I'm with Romney.
You're with Romney. You don't care about the green. You don't care about none of that. You're going to go straight for just the oil, gas, and coal.
Yep.
Okay, what about you, Taryn?
I'm going to have to go more Obama.
I'm going to go more Obama on this one. I just think that I'm getting everything Romney wants, as well as I'm going to get the extra. And, you know, why not double up?
And not to mention, you know, my lifetime, I'm 18. I've got a lot of time left.
Hopefully.
See, here's the thing. I don't think that green energy should be a government-sanctioned thing. I don't think that they need to open up, a new project or a new building or a new headquarters.
You know, and
you should take that money and spend it towards something else.
Education. I think that this is where the one issue that has been brought to my attention is very interesting, is that the reason that the government is involved in the green energy to the extent they are is that if you had independent investors like your Richard Bransons and stuff like that doing it, if someone does come along with something that's fantastic that could potentially turn into some really good stuff,
mm-hmm.
you're going to have all the money power players that are already in bed with everyone on the other side of the fence just shut the one person down. It'll be a team-up effect. Whereas if you have the government there to back those individuals, they can't team up as easy because you have members of Congress that will like downplay these individuals because of power moves at the top.
Right.
So I see where that point is. Okay, we're moving on. Gay rights. Obama once opposed federal recognition of same-sex marriage, later said his views were evolving and has not taken a position since. Opposes constitutional amendment to ban it, supports civil unions and letting states decide about marriage, achieved repeal of the military ban on openly gay service members. Romney, on the other hand, favors constitutional amendment to ban gay marriages, says policy should be set federally and not by states. Marriage is not an activity that goes on within the walls of the state, but said he would not seek to restore a ban on openly gay service members. So, with that being stated, what you have is Obama is not 100% yay, 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 boom, sis, boom, bah for gay rights, but he's willing to allow them to just do their thing.
But didn't he just come out recently saying, I'm cool with y'all?
That's what he said. Support civil unions, letting the states decide. That's the other day. Now, here's the thing. Romney is sitting there going, nope, we're going to try to make this a government thing that states whether you can or can't be gay and get married. And I think that that's stupid because marriage is more of a personal thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not a state thing.
Yeah, that's not something.
Hey, if they want to get married, and be unhappy like the rest of all, like the rest of y'all, like Mark, you know,
yeah,
you all married people,
us married peoples,
you know, like marriage is more, you know, it's just a legal thing, you know, it's just a combination.
But see, here's the thing: is that marriage isn't a legal thing.
It's not a legal thing based at all.
Actually,
a religious thing.
It's a religious thing.
Oh yeah,
marriage is a sacrament. For me being brought up Catholic, I can't speak for too many other sects of religion, but as far as Catholicism goes, marriage is a sacrament.
And the argument is this. The argument is that the government, the people that are against it are saying that they don't want the government to allow civil unions because then those people can put each other on their insurances and they can get tax breaks for being a couple and things like that.
Here's what I'll let you finish.
And then the Republican side of that, the Romney side of that, basically their argument for why they're going down that road to try to stop those people from having civil unions and putting each other on their taxes and things like that is a religious-based reason. Oh, because religion dictates marriage, mm-hmm. and therefore that's why this is right. But it's not a legal thing. The separation of church and state is not a legal thing, but the separation of church and state is a moral ideal has actually worked very well.
Yeah.
Keep these two things separate,
now,
okay?
Yeah, as far as general modern practices go, marriage has become a government thing. So you do get tax breaks. When a man and a woman get married, they get put into a certain tax break so that they can save the money so that they can start a family. They also get certain rights, visitation and hospitals. And I think that if a man and a man or a woman and a woman decided that they wanted to join up in a partnership legally, and if they want to call it marriage, I suppose I'm okay with that, because just because you're a man and a man or a woman and a woman doesn't mean that you still can't love one another just as thoughtfully and as passionately as a man and a woman. And I do believe that a gay couple should have hospital visitations, and I believe that they should be offered certain rights to their significant other. And
all right, here's so where do we stand on this one? I think in this case, I'm going with Obama. I'm really not against it. It's really a non-issue for me since I'm a married white male who's married to a woman. So it's a non-issue for me.
It's my the what I just spotted off was my opinion.
Right.
But honestly, it doesn't affect me either way. I'm not going to lose any sleep if gay people can't get married. I'm not going to lose any sleep if straight people can't get married. I mean, I'm not going anywhere right now.
So where do you go, Obama or Romney?
I'd probably still go with Romney, but
okay. What about you, Taryn?
I like Obama's stance on it.
Well, so why would you go with Romney then? Do you see my point? Like, if you like Obama's stance, then you would stand with Obama's stance, wouldn't you? You see my point?
I do see your point. What I'm thinking of is in a larger scale. I'm considering the rest. Okay, I guess. Okay, I see where you're going. I'll give Obama this one.
Okay,
but in a general stance, I'm still probably leaning towards voting for Romney.
Okay, all right.
Well, I'm a very strong advocate for gay rights, so I'm gonna have to go way for more Obama here.
Okay, cool. All right, we're moving on, guys. Next one up is healthcare. Obama achieved a landmark overhaul, putting U.S. on a path to universal coverage. If the Supreme Court upholds the healthcare law and his mandate for almost everyone to obtain insurance. Under the law, insurers will be banned from denying coverage to people with pre-existing illnesses. Tax credits will be subsidized premiums. People without work-based insurance will have access to new markets. And small businesses get help for offering insurance, and Medicaid will expand. Romney, on the other hand, promises to work for the repeal of the law modeled largely after his universal health care achievement in Massachusetts, because he states, not Washington, he says states, not Washington, should drive policy on the uninsured, proposes to guarantee that people who are continuously covered for a certain period to be protected against losing insurance if they get sick, leave their job, and need other policies, would expand individual tax advantaged medical savings accounts, and let savings be used for insurance premiums as well as personal medical costs. This is almost a wash. We have two individuals who are pretty much down the same exact road. Yeah.
And I don't like either one of them, personally.
Right. And I can understand, and we're not going to get into, like, because that is an entire show on itself right there. So.
It's time up.
Oh, the time is up over here at the queue. That's an interesting, wow. We have a clock. No. Let's, like, Matt just ran over to knock that out. We have a clock here in the studio that is like a time clock off to the side. And I've never had that happen while we were live on the air. But for some reason, it decided to, like, have the alarm. And he's over smacking the snooze button on the alarm and trying to turn it off. Thank you so much for doing that, Matt.
Yeah, no problem.
But that was
what a weird occurrence.
Out of nowhere at the studio, the clock that we sometimes look at to find out our times.
Somebody must have set the alarm or something.
All right. It's kind of weird. I'm going to go with Obama on this one. I think Romney is down the same road. It doesn't matter. It's six in one hand, half a dozen in the other.
I'm not a fan of either. Moving on.
Okay. So I'm going Obama. Taryn, where do you stand on universal health care?
I think everyone should have some sort of access.
Okay.
I mean, at some point, you know, you can't just let people sit out there. You know, if they've got something going on, you got give them something.
Well, they're not going to be denied care.
I think the biggest thing that I like about Obama's healthcare thing, and Romney has it too, is the fact that if you're already sick, you have a pre-existing, they won't deny you.
And that's that happens sometimes.
That happens quite often.
Like, I got back problems, and then you change insurance carriers, right. It might not cover that.
Well, there's also the people who get cancers and things like that. And the minute they get cancers, their company starts denying them certain rights and then eventually drops them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they just don't want to pay for cancer costs. And I understand that, you know. But we were all given the right to life. That's the truth. Like, you can sit here and argue with me, but the fact that we are sitting here talking to each other, alive human beings, that is something that was guaranteed to us by God. We were given the ability for life. Now, we were also given the ability for death, too. So you can argue both sides of it. Do you see my point? Like, it's a wash. So we're going to move on, but I'm definitely Obama on that one. I don't have a problem with universal health care. I think it would probably help more people in the end than hurt. Next topic on the thing is Social Security. Obama has now proposed a comprehensive plan to address Social Security's long-term financial problems, and there are many. In 2011, proposed a new measure of inflation that would reduce annual increases in Social Security benefits. The proposal would reduce the long-term financial shortfall by about 25%, according to Social Security actuaries. Romney, on the other hand, protect the status quo for people 55 and over, but for the next generation of retirees, raise the retirement age for full benefits by 1 or 2 years and reduce inflation increases in benefits for wealthier recipients. I actually agree with Romney on this one. I don't necessarily like the fact that he wants to raise the age limit, but I do agree with the idea for increase the benefits for the wealthier recipients, like or reduce the inflation increases in the benefits for wealthier recipients. You know, don't tax those people just because they're wealthier on health. My thing on health is very simple, like across the board. I want everyone to be alive. And I want everyone to enjoy life.
Quit breathing my air, Mark.
Right, that's the problem. You see,
breathing my air and eating my food and drinking my water.
That's not
using my gas.
You think that that's funny, but that's not a joke. That literally
for many conservatives, that's a hardline aspect.
That's a hardline aspect for everybody who's a conservative. For the most hard-edged conservatives. Mm-hmm. That is their, don't breathe my ear and don't drink my water and don't be around my land and don't talk to my people. And it's this just over the top, like, dude, you don't own the world. Stop it. Just enjoy what you have and try to make it through the day. I'm not a big fan of my direct next door neighbors. I have neighbors that I like in my subdivision. I'm not a big fan of my direct next door neighbors. They're not horrible people. I just think that they make bad decisions sometimes. Yeah. They like to party and stuff like that. But I don't want them to die. It's not like I'm sitting there like, stop partying with my air. Stop, you know, talking to everybody. Stop hanging out and being fun. Like, I'm not that kind of a person. So, I want to see Social Security continue.
Yeah.
Main reason for me is I'm 36 already. I've already paid quite a bit into it.
Yeah.
I think I should get something out of it. That's all I'm saying at this point.
What if they just cut you a rebate?
Cut me a rebate check?
Yeah.
Civil rebate?
Like for what you've paid in, they say, okay, for every cent that you've paid in, we will cut you a check for 50% of that, and for the rest of it, it's going to go towards, I don't know, health care that you like so much.
Now, Taryn, since you're the voting guy, I know that the Social Security law situation might not be up your alley as something to even care about really all that
not
much
really.
At this young age.
So we're not going to fault you for that.
We're going to move on to what I think this is the last one. Taxes. Obama wants to raise taxes on the wealthy and ensure they pay 30% of their income at minimum. Supports extended Bush-era tax cuts for everyone making under $200,000 or $250,000 for couples, but in 2010 agreed to a two-year extension of the lowering rates for all. Healthcare law provides for a tax on highest-value health insurance plans. Together with Congress, built a first-term record of significant tax cuts, some temporary. Romney wants to drop all tax rates by 20%, bringing the top rate, for example, down to 28% from 35%, and the lowest rate to 8% instead of 10%. Curtail deductions, credits, and exemptions for the wealthiest, and eliminate capital gains tax for families making below $200,000, and cut corporate tax for 25% from 35%. Okay, so you have a lot of the similar things between Romney and Obama, but their difference is the wealthy. The wealthy is the difference when it comes to Romney and Obama on taxes. Yeah, Obama's going to make sure everybody's taken care of on the lower end, you know, and so is Romney. They want to both do tax cuts, and Obama's already done a ton more than any other Democratic president in history has. So you already have that going for you. But the question is that $250,000 and above. Romney wants to make sure that those people get their taxes lowered too. And Barack's not against lowering their taxes. He just doesn't want to lower it as much. He wants to make sure that if you're making that kind of money that you pay in. I'm kind of flipped on this one. I kind of agree a little bit with Obama on the high end, and I kind of agree with Romney on the high end. I really do. It's kind of a weird mix that you don't think you can have, but I really do kind of agree with both. I don't think that wealthy people should just be taxed because they're wealthy, but at the same point, if you got a little bit more to give, I don't think you should be bitching about it as much.
But it should be a choice, and nobody
should be a choice.
And nobody says, "Oh, hey, well, you owe 20%." Nobody ever says that you can't pay more.
Right.
Nobody's going to turn you down if you want to pay, instead of your 20%, if you want to pay 25 or 30%. Nobody's saying that you can't do that. Give them the option. Make it available. I personally like the idea of the flat tax. You're a human being.
Flat tax.
You make,
I like that.
You make different money than I do. Obama makes a certain amount of money.
But everybody's taxed
even.
It should just be fair.
Bill Gates makes a certain amount of money, and I think we should all pay the same amount. Doesn't matter if they worked hard for their money or if I worked hard for their money, just because they put in the extra effort more than I did and they're making millions, I really think that we should all pay the same.
All right, so ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break here on the show. When we get back, we're going to knock out the last few very quickly. We're not going to get into the in-depth because some of these can be controversial and we could be spending hours on them. We're going to knock out the last few of these Romney versus Bush thing or Romney versus Obama things. And we'll be back here on The Q in just a few minutes. Make sure you check out theqnow.com. Don't forget to check out the other shows on westplexnewstalk.com and 1280 AM. I am Mark Bland. I'm joined today by Matt Krueger and Taryn D. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to The Q. We are in the middle of finishing up. Well, I guess we're not in the middle then. We're finishing up, actually. The Obama versus Romney. Of course, you're listening to us on WestplexNewsTalk.com, 1280 KYRO. And I'm sitting here with Taryn as well as Matt. And last one, guys. Last one on our entire situation. Issues between Romney and Obama that are going to be important for 2012's election. Abortion.
Dun, dun, dun.
So Obama supports abortion rights. Healthcare law requires contraceptives to be available for free to women who are enrolled in workplace health plans. Romney, of course, opposes abortion rights, previously supported them, though. Says state law should guide abortion rights and Roe v. Wade should be reversed by a future Supreme Court. Says he would end federal aid to Planned Parenthood. Now, we have a guy in Romney who used to agree with pro-choice. Now he's pro-life totally. I'm totally pro-choice. Where do you stand, Matt?
I stand pro-choice.
And Taryn?
Pro-choice.
So all of us say Obama on this one, pretty much.
Well, I wouldn't give it as clear, cut, and dry as that.
Oh, my goodness. Are we going down this road again?
But,
ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know, we have a famous episode of Ramblings with Matt and Mark where we went down the road of arguing and discussing with Matt the version of pro-choice versus pro-life and how he refused to be pro-choice because of his stance.
A lot has changed over the last 2 years.
Of course. Of course. So, anyway, go ahead. Caveat.
Well, I wasn't going to say I don't approve of birth control or was it
the birth control for free through workplace health?
Yeah, I don't agree with that.
That's fine, but I'm just saying.
I think if you were to do it, I think it should be paid for out of pocket. Well, or yeah. In certain situations, like in rape cases,
right? Of course.
I think that. Then you should probably be taken care of.
Okay, so I'm going
Yeah, pro-choice.
I'm going Barack Obama. You're going Barack Obama. What about you, Taryn?
Obama.
Okay, so at the end of this, I've counted up, Taryn, that you have agreed with Obama 5 times out of 12. So that means... Seven times out of the 12, you've agreed with Mitt Romney. So you probably tend to lean more conservative than you do liberal.
Alrighty.
So that makes sense. So now your basis for when you go out into the future, and for anybody other who's been listening over the last hour or so, when you go out there and you kind of have these ideas, you know where you stand a little bit better. You know out of how many times out of 12 different issues that are important where you stand on Obama versus Romney, so you have a better way to make it. So come voting in November. If you choose to vote for Romney, which is fine, I think everybody has their own right to voice their opinion however they see fit, this is going to work out well for you. You know, if Romney's your guy, then you already kind of agree with Romney. You lean more towards Romney than not. And Matt is in the exact same boat as you. Matt agreed 5 times with Barack Obama and 7 times with Mitt Romney. So,
that much?
Yeah.
I thought it was like 3.
Well, some of those were dual things. Like, that's how we got to the 12, because it was like... Social Security was by itself, but then there was the economy and whatever it was.
Okay.
So it was a double up.
Economy and debt.
Right, something like that, yeah. So, okay. All right, and so there you go, ladies and gentlemen. A little bit about our future potential president or current president who might get reelected. Let's move on with life, though. Let's move on with life, because it's time for us to have a little bit of fun. I think it's time for some letters to Mark and the Q Show. Matt, are you a big fan of the letters to Mark and the Q Show?
I love letters to Mark. I especially write in with... I love when the girls write in looking for relationship advice. That is my favorite time because, as we all know, I am Dr. Love.
Oh, yeah.
Are Dr. Love. Let's just be honest. You kind of are Dr. Love.
Taryn, if you listen to the show more, you'd know I give out great relationship advice.
However, such is your advice at work the other day.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, we won't go into that. But, no, it's like, I'm great at giving the advice. I'm horrible at taking it. And my own love life and relationship life is, like, you know, practically non-existent. But.
All right, here we go. I've brought up the first letter to Mark and the Q Show. Now, sometimes I do relationship advice, as you said, advice. More recently, I've been kind of grabbing some of the other stories that people send me because, you know, I just want to flavor it out a little bit. And some of these are a little entertaining to read and somewhat fun to discuss. So you ready, Matt? Here we go. It's time for Dr. Matt. Time for Dr.
I am the doctor.
You are the doctor. Taryn, you're tenacious Taryn D.
Okay.
Okay. Here we go.
That's pretty good. I like that.
Here we go. TTD and the doctor. Mark, love the show, big fan, and have always liked listening to you banter on with Travis Cook and all those conservative-hating things that you say. I've got a very interesting question for you. So a few years ago, I went to Barnes & Noble to get a book. I decided to take a hefty number 2 in their public restroom. Well, thank you for illuminating us.
Yeah.
I get myself situated in the seat and let it all out as a guy walks into the bathroom. He starts laughing at the noise, and I can't help but join him. As he uses one of the urinals, I reach for the toilet paper, you know, the big 18-inch rolls that they keep in the big plastic cases.
Yeah.
Super size me versions of those things.
Yeah,
well, as I put the first sheet, the plastic door flies open and the big roll hits me in the leg, falls to the floor, rolls underneath the bathroom stall across the room before toppling onto its side. Of course, the guy who's at the urinal finishing up must have heard and seen the commotion and started laughing hysterically again as he walked towards the roll. He then stepped over the trail of toilet paper and walked out the door, leaving me to gently tug the roll back to myself in fear of breaking all of those one-ply sheets. I have a quick question for you.
You guys having a really number 2 day.
What's the worst public bathroom story that you have? Alright. I really don't think I have any what I would consider horrible public bathroom stories. I have a funny public bathroom story. I can't really get into a lot of details because I'd have to be a little crass on the air. I can kind of give you the general idea.
Generalize it.
We went to Six Flags at Kentucky Kingdom. Kentucky in Louisville, Kentucky had a Six Flags. So me and my family had went there when I went to visit one of my friends who was a professional wrestler with OVW at the time.
Uh-huh.
And when we got to Six Flags, midway through the day, I decided to go take a restroom break. My brother decided to join me. So, of course, it's one of those situations where there's a couple stalls, then there's the wall urinal, just the three bag of wall urinals. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're by yourself, you usually choose one end or the other because you don't want someone standing right next to you.
Yeah, just
you want to give them the option to have the space in between.
Exactly.
And, you know, like, not make it awkward.
Not make it awkward. That's the goal.
Of course, as we walk in, no one else in the bathroom but one guy, he's at the middle urinal.
He's that guy.
Me and Luke.
That guy.
Me and my brother Luke decided we're going to do the whole double up. But Luke looks at me as we're walking in, and he kind of gives me the glare like, dude, we're going to have to, like, you know, bookend this guy. Like, we got to do it. So Luke, deciding to make the best of the situation as he possibly could, as we're standing there using the restroom, the guy's finishing up. Luke stops, and we're tall guys. I'm 6'4", Luke's 6'5". We're tall dudes. Luke turns and looks down at the guy and towards him in his area. And then he happens to say the phrase to him, hey, man, nice blank.
Oh, okay.
Nice piece, nice package, whatever you want to say. But he said the C word.
Yeah.
Oh. Like very, very, very crass, very direct. And, of course, the guy kind of wide-eyes really quickly, looking up at him, and immediately puts away and goes over, washes his hands, and gets out of there, and stands again.
No part of
me, at the same time, I am laughing hysterically at what my brother just did to this poor guy, who is now scared and probably running because he feels like we're going to chase him down and stare at him all day.
That happened.
So what's the worst thing that's ever happened?
It's really good that that story didn't go the other way. And the guy was, like, really thankful and appreciative for the attention.
Good point. Okay, so what's the worst thing that's ever happened to you in a public restroom, Matt?
The worst thing that's ever happened to me, other than, like, throwing up at a bar?
Yeah.
I've thrown up at, you know, in bar stalls before. I don't know, man. That's probably it. I mean, my public bathroom experience hasn't really been all that horrible. I mean, I tend to use a public bathroom very sparingly. I don't like to use a public bathroom, especially if I'm going to be sitting down for an extended period of time. I prefer, you know, someplace where I know it's going to be quiet, or I, you know, if I know I'm going to be home soon, I'll just go home. You know, it's no big deal. So, my experiences, you know, are pretty short. Except for that, you know, the time where it's like, so, hey, man, drink this. And the shot is way too strong. And I've got to, like, fly into the bathroom to make sure I don't throw up all over the bar because the shot was nasty.
All right. Taryn, what about you?
Nada. I refuse to use public restrooms.
Well, lucky for you guys that when I put this out here just a few seconds ago, I've already been tweeted back a more interesting story than the last interesting story. Not that I like to get into these kind of stories live on the air, but at the same point, I think it makes for some interesting storytelling. So, I was in a Barnes & Noble with a friend once, and he announced that he had taken a number two, and so he went off to the bathroom, and I went to look for things in the photography section. After a while, he came out and said something weird had just happened to him. He had just started using the restroom when some guy came in and knocked on the stall door. Then he said he was with building maintenance and that they were disconnecting the plumbing. So for God's sakes, of course, when he was finishing, please do not flush the toilets. Just leave it and they'd close the bathroom down. My friend thought it was funny and that he had been asked to leave his usage without flushing.
Okay.
About 5 minutes later, there was a commotion at the front door, and we looked over, and one of the store management is standing in the way of the guy in a trench coat saying, sir, I need you to show me what you have under your coat. I was like, dude, watch this. That guy just got busted for shoplifting.
Mm-hmm.
Same guy that was inside the bathroom. The shoplifter finally reached under his coat and pulled out a quart-sized mason jar with some kind of liquid and lumps in it. The manager just kind of backed off and said, oh, sorry, you can go. And the trench coat dude took off running, clutching the jar. My friend turned to me, totally white-faced, and said, you know what's coming next, he says. I think that guy stole my poop. The trench coat guy was not a shoplifter. He was literally a turd burglar. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. That might be one of the funniest things I've ever had said to me on the queue. And we're going to move on to another question here on the show. But that's hilarious, man. I mean, thank you to the queue listeners for listening to the show and coming in with great stuff like that. Are you guys Simpson fans?
I used to be. Basically, seasons 1 through 8, I think I was fans of, and then after that, I don't know.
All right, so question for you, Mark. I'm a big fan of The Simpsons. I haven't heard you really talk about much else other than Sons of Anarchy and some of the other television shows. You've never mentioned any animated TV shows, but I had a simple question for you. Do you like The Simpsons? Yes, I like The Simpsons. I haven't watched in quite a long time, but I do like The Simpsons. I don't have a problem with The Simpsons. How would you like to see The Simpsons end? Because if everybody knows, the supposed is that The Simpsons is ending. And how...
I hadn't heard.
I haven't heard that they are or not. I don't know. But the person wants to know...
It makes sense.
How would you like to see The Simpsons end? And that's an interesting one. You know, with cartoon-type shows, Family Guy, stuff like that, usually they do pop culture references.
God. What if Peter Griffin were to pop up on an episode of The Simpsons as, like, or Stewie as, like, an assassin to kill the Simpson family?
This needs to happen. Stewie needs to show up here.
Or we could go one step further. They did do Simpsons on Cartman, so what if Cartman showed up to finally put an end to a play on South Park? Cartman decides to feed Bart his mom and dad chili. What about Fry? What if Fry, like, they turn the TV off? Like, the whole scene of Fry from Futurama turning the TV off, saying how they should have stopped making it when he left?
Yeah.
That'd be kind of funny.
I think what'll end up happening is they'll get a very nice, very emotional, you know, good quality send-off.
They've been around for a while.
I don't know what the storyline's gonna be. You know, I haven't followed The Simpsons closely enough to really be able to judge it, other than, you know, Stewie, you know, because basically Family Guy's putting The Simpsons out to pasture.
What if they go back and they actually flip on one of their most famous seasons? The season where Maggie supposedly was who killed Mr. Burns. What if every season since then was Mr. Burns in a coma from when Maggie killed him?
Or attempted to kill him.
And he was just in a coma, and all those episodes are dreams he was having of what was going on in Springfield.
The Inception is ridiculous.
Simception?
Yes.
You would have a lot of really angry fans that would feel cheated.
You really think that they would feel that cheated, or do you think that they would find that clever?
People feel that way when they do that in books or in movies or TV shows, when, like, you have all of this emotional involvement and you are committed to this character and what's going on with him, and then all of a sudden you realize it's a farce and a joke.
Perfect
example.
And
you've been played.
Final Fantasy X.
Yeah.
Titus.
Yeah.
I cried.
The whole thing's just a joke. Tears
came out of my eyes.
When what happened?
The ending of Final Fantasy X is...
are you talking about the video game?
Yes.
Yeah, it's basically the whole
you
thing.
You cried?
Yes, I cried.
Dude, if you've played the game, it's very emotional. And yeah, when you're spending... Sometimes, like, okay, I didn't finish the game. I invested 75 hours into the game, and I hadn't even finished it. Some people are investing 150 to 200 hours with these characters and the storylines that are going on, and you can develop a serious attachment.
See, I never get attached to things that deeply. Like, okay, I'll enjoy things, but I don't...
I'm not saying cry, as in, like, bawl my eyes out, but I'm...
It was a sad story, kind of like...
You get the lip quiver.
What was the movie with the dog a few years ago? Sam or whatever?
Marley and Me.
Okay, yeah. I cried at the end of Marley and Me because that was a sad situation. Because of what the story dictated.
Well, here's what happened.
I get
you pretty much go through the game playing as Titus, and you pretty much find out at the end, Titus has been dead this whole time.
Yeah.
And it's like, what?
It's just, he's a character in a dream.
Yes.
Right, but that's unique. Like, you remember that forever. Oh, like, yeah. It like, doesn't knock
you. But you hate it.
But you don't.
I love it, and you hate it all at the
same
time.
It's a love-hate relationship there. It's bittersweet.
All right, let's move on. I got another question for everybody. So, Mark, love the show. What stupid, illogical, never-going-to-happen fantasy do you still hold out hope for? Mine is the perfect Hollywood match, or my fantasy to see a guy drop his wallet and I return it to him. It turns out to be actually Bill Gates, and he instantly offers me a lucrative position doing something exciting and not completely soul-sucking. I live comfortably and never have to worry about my future forever. So what kind of never-going-to-happen fantasy do you still hold out for? Interesting question. What about you, Matt?
Mine is a little bit more, I guess, heartfelt.
Okay.
My fantasy, and it is just a fantasy because it'll never happen, but in my fantasy, the one that I let go comes back.
Okay, fair enough. Well, but, you know, you like you said with the video game, in your life, depending on the relationships you have with people, you invest a lot of time. And you get to know a person extremely intimately. Even if, like, here's the thing. Me and Matt, we're best friends outside of the show.
Yeah.
We hang out with each other watching wrestling and everything like that. We intimately know each other's personalities. We're not intimate with each other.
I would hope not.
But you know the other person pretty intimately.
I
like,
know,
you
Mark,
can.
I know your poo schedule pretty well.
To each his own.
My point is that you can, we're not going to talk about fecal matter anymore. You know the other person like the back of your hand. You get to know them very well, and you spend a lot of time with them. I don't think that that's such an ill-conceived fantasy. Obviously, it's a fantasy because you know that it can never be.
It'll never happen. It shouldn't happen. I know that I'm, you know, generally better off, and I know that that person is as well. You know, because there were ups and downs, and good parts and bad parts, but ultimately, it wasn't a good fit.
Okay,
you know, and so it's just wishful thinking of like, oh, well, you know, it'd be nice to have a second chance. But
all right, fair enough. What about you, big dog?
Well, mine isn't so far out of reach, but owning like a large corporation.
Okay, well, but these are things that you know are never going to happen. Stupid, illogical, kind of like, you know. We know that the guys who created The Sopranos are never going to go back and redo the ending so that people are happy.
How about this? Owning every corporation.
Yes. That would be... That's everybody's fantasy, though. I think everybody would be happy with that.
For me, I think it's starring alongside Chevy Chase.
Dude, for me, time traveling with Doctor Who.
You know, I read something really interesting. Okay,
that would be awesome.
Mine is actually acting with Chevy Chase in a movie. I've always wanted to act with Chevy Chase in a movie because I always thought it would be interesting. I'd learn a lot. And I think that I could do a really good job because I have some comedic wit to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would be very funny. But you brought up Doctor Who. I found out this, before we get out of here on the show, I found out this most amazing piece of information. Is there an episode called The 11th Hour or something like that? 11th something?
I think so.
Something like that. Well, supposedly, the story goes that bow tie sales rose 94% immediately following the ending of that episode of Doctor Who.
Yeah, because bow ties are cool.
And amazing. Amazing that I found that out. Like, just some piece of minutia that just dropped into my
lap. If I'm not mistaken, it's the episode where he's like, yeah, I wear a bow tie. Bow ties are cool. And so everybody, like, just went out and bought bow ties. I did. I did.
You went out and bought a bow tie because of that episode?
Well, because of the doctor, yeah.
Because of the doctor.
Uh-huh. Because before that, it's just, you know, like, regular
conformity.
Just regular old neckties.
I will be the first to admit I don't get into Doctor Who discussions with Matt any further. He was put to the challenge on Savage Vibrations one night. He gave me the challenge to watch an episode called Blink. He said, if you don't like it after this, then there's no hope for you anyway. I actually enjoyed the episode of Doctor Who that I saw called Blink. It was very uniquely written, and it was a great episode. And if you don't know who Doctor Who is, you should go watch it. You don't need to know nothing about Doctor Who. Just watch that episode and enjoy the storyline for what it's worth. I think that that's a...
Season 3, good. I believe, episode 10, Blink.
All right, so our friend Taryn D.
Yeah.
Taryn D. Tenacious Taryn D. What'd you think of your first time on the radio, sir?
It was a lot of fun.
Taranacious D.
Terranaceous D.
A lot better than anything else I could have been doing tonight.
There you go.
There you go. So anyway, and for nighttime, it's pretty light outside, so yeah, you're good. Well, you know, let me speak everyone's. It's autocorrect. It's your autocorrect on your own personal being.
Well, I mean, it's afternoon, so it's
sort of tonight. Anyway. Closer tonight. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to get out of here on the queue. I want to first off thank Matt Krueger as well as Tenacious Taren D for coming on the show. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, man.
Also, don't forget to check out theqnow.com. Go to theqnow.com, theqnow.com. Find out about past episodes, future episodes, a little bit about me, a little bit about the show. We got the Breaking Point blog where extra episodes of the shows and things that we're doing. You got the match coming up with Fred Slow from Too Heavy to Skydive, the horse match, best 2 out of 3. So stay tuned for the results of that. That's coming up real soon. So all that is the good stuff that we love here. You have been listening to The Q on KYRO 1280 AM, the blowtorch of the Westplex right outside of St. Louis, Missouri. Thank you so much. God bless the United States and God bless all of you. My name's Mark Bland. We will see you guys next time on The Q.